Welcome to Emil Franzing's Voices of the West, dedicated to the principle that America was better off when our TV shows featured cowboys instead of warriors.
And in the words of Roderick Crawford, 10-4, 10-4.
Because he's leaning against the car because he couldn't stand up.
I know. Welcome to another edition.
Are you guys out on Highway 18? Jesus, I'll get out there quick.
Welcome to another edition of Emil Franzing's Voices of the West. I'm Harry Alexander, I think, and Bunker de France across the way from me.
I'm not sure either.
And I'm not sure either. And I think in Los Angeles or someplace like that is our good friend Todd Roberts. Howdy, howdy, and howdy.
Gentlemen, it is so good to be with you today. I can't tell you how pleased I am. I look forward to this Saturday every week.
All right.
And I get to spend it with you two.
All right.
I look forward to this Saturday every Sunday.
I don't know that the feeling is mutual, but I'm going to take it anyway.
There you go. Hey, we got us a good one today. Dr. Buck Montgomery is joining us. He's producing a festival up in Kanab, Utah. It's a little Hollywood film festival, and it's going to feature the real and real cowboys. That's R-E-E-L and R-E-A-L.
I was both.
Cowboys. I know you were both.
Many people don't.
You're not going to be up there.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
But I'm supporting it.
Yeah, as we all are. But before we get to Buck, we have to do...
The good, the bad, and the bovine coming to you from Bunker's Bunkhouse. And I'm going to explain how this works because I know Dr. Buck probably doesn't listen to the show because he's got better things to do.
Yeah, for sure.
But just in case he does, he might know. But what I do is I start with today, which is the 22nd of August for this show, and I go back 3 days in time, and then I type a little nidbits of goodies about what happened on that day, and then I move up to today. Then I move 3 days forward into the future. Not into the future, it's into the past in the future.
Where the hell he goes, no one knows.
Yeah, nobody knows, round and round. But I'm going to start out with August 19, 1927. And this is a test for you guys, starting out. Justice Ellis McQueen Jr. Anybody know who he is?
Steve McQueen.
Had nothing to do with it.
Okay, no.
Well, okay, I don't have to give the price away. L.Q. Jones.
Okay.
Actor, director, worked for Sam Peckinpah. He did a bunch of stuff, but I'm going to focus on Sam Peckinpah. He did 5 films with Sam. He did Ride into High Country, 1962. Major Dundee, 1965. The Wild Bunch, 1969. The Ballad of Cable Hogue, one of my most favorite movies, 1970. Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid, 1973. And the great thing is he was frequently cast alongside Strother Martin. And according to IMDb, he did 380 films.
Well, he
minimum.
And he also did, he was the first season of Cheyenne.
Oh, yeah.
He was...
this year is Cheyenne.
Yeah.
Well, that's somewhere in that 380.
Okay.
Sam didn't direct any of them.
No, okay.
So that's why I was leaving him out.
I gotcha.
It's not one that I was ignoring. Yeah.
I understand.
Okay. Well, okay. Now we got that straightened out. August 20, 1707. That's a jump back into the past. The first siege of Pensacola included 2 separate attempts by the English, supported by Creek Indians, to capture the town and the Fort Carlos de Austria. Now, what's a Spanish town doing, or French town named after a guy in Austria? I don't know. Anyhow, the town was destroyed.
They were all interrelated.
The town was destroyed, but the fort stood off repeated attacks. Now, August 21, 1930, this guy's a chance to redeem yourself. Who is this? Kenneth Donald Ray Rogers. Time's up.
Buck Rogers?
You're excused. Kenny Rogers.
Oh.
You got to know when to hold him there, Todd.
Well, okay. And we had his son, Kenny Rogers Jr., on the show.
Yes, we did.
Why didn't we know that?
Why didn't we know that?
And, you know, it's a small world. Anyhow, I decided to focus on the Western films that he did, because he didn't do a ton, but he did a bunch.
And they were good.
Yeah, they were. And the first one was Saga of Sonora, 1973. Then he did Kenny Rogers as the Gambler, 1980. Never heard of that one. Coward of the County, which was a good one. It was kind of a modern Western, 1981. Kenny Rogers as the Gambler, The Adventure Continues, 1983. Wild Horses, 1985. Kenny Rogers as the Gambler, Part 3, The Legend Continues. He couldn't get a job except as a gambler. Oh, and then The Gambler Returns, The Luck of the Draw. Then he did one, and that was 1991. Then he did the Rio West, which was a documentary, in 92. He did Rio Diablo in 1993, and that's a good, gritty Western. There's no Kenny Rogers singing. It's Kenny Rogers kicking butt.
I just remember Kenny Rogers from his band, The First Edition, and I dropped in to see what condition my condition is in.
I didn't get a hold of him until his, until his second edition. And he also did Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, the episode Portraits. And then I'll finish up his Westerns with Gambler 5, Playing for Keeps, 94. Now, moving up to today, but not today. This is today, the 22nd, in 1776. The British arrive at Long Island between Gravesend and New Utrecht.
That's Long Island.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Long Island.
Long Island.
Pronounce it correctly. Long Island.
That's important to know. And where we're, we're on Long Island with the British landing. And this is a quote. Nearly 24,000 men ready to land in a moment. That's according to an observer, a New Yorker. Mm-hmm. This large army was led by General William Howe. 5 days later, they marched against the Patriot position at Brooklyn Heights. Now, moving off further into the 23rd, 1775, that's a year late earlier, but a day later. And I love this one. The Proclamation of Rebellion, officially titled A Proclamation for Suppressing Rebellion and Sedition, was the response of King George III to the news of the Battle of Bunker Hill at the outset of the American Revolutionary War. It declared the American colonies in a state of open and avowed rebellion.
Oh.
Those rowdy guys.
Oh,
24 August, 1349. Now this one is just, this is just personal, and this is also for, this is for Todd especially. 6,000 Jews are killed in Mainz, Germany, after being blamed for the bubonic plague, followed by the potential forfeiture of Jewish property.
You know,
I am so sick of all this
crap.
Crap, you know.
Yeah, crap. That's what it is. It's crap.
All I can say is shoot back.
Crap.
In August, I'll finish up with August 25, 1916. President William Wilson signed the act creating a National Park Service. As part of the Department of Interior, it protects 400 areas in 50 states, U.S. territories, and the District of Columbia, totaling 84 million acres.
I thought our man Theodore Roosevelt was involved.
No, he created Yellowstone. He created Yellowstone.
A singular park.
Just a singular? I thought he created the National Park Service.
Well, he started the movement because it's with him and John Muir, but it was Woodrow Wilson who signed it into federal law.
Amazing.
Because he wasn't president yet.
Well, no, okay.
That's a good reason.
All right.
Okay, we're done with that. Now, Dr. Buck, if you can wake up. I know you're having a nice nap here.
Oh, look at that. He's snoring already, for God's sake.
No, I just feel so enlightened now and stuff. My God, it's like a trip to the library with blank books. But it's amazing.
Buck, welcome to the damn program. Thank you.
He went to stick his fingers in his ears not to listen, and he missed it. He put them up his nose.
All right, this little old film festival that you're producing in Kanab, Utah. Tell us about that, sir.
All right, well, I'm sure a lot of you guys, you do your research and stuff. Everyone knows that Kanab's nickname is Little Hollywood. It was dubbed that in 1940 by William Wellman, the director. Mm-hmm. So it's been like that for ever since. And the reason he called it Little Hollywood, it wasn't because, you know, it looked like Hollywood or had anything to do with Hollywood. He realized from the onset, when he came up to that first film, he looked at it and he went, all the people in town just stepped up. All of a sudden, he had all the extras he needed. Mm-hmm. He had stunt people that he could use. He had wranglers. He had horses. He had location sightings.
Paiutes.
So that saved him. Yeah, the Paiutes. And that saved him a lot of money, and the studios a lot of money, not having to bring all those extra people up here. So it then, with the help of Neil Summers and his friend Bonnie Riding, that's kind of a whole story in itself, that they put together, along with three of the big founding people here in Kanab, they thought, well, let's pay homage to this. And so it was 26 years ago that they put together the Western Legends Roundup. You know, when you walk the streets in Kanab, and it's a small town, but there are plaques. There are hundreds and hundreds of plaques, bronze plaques with all of the actors that filmed up here, what they filmed up here. So people just go on these little walking tours constantly. Well, I've been coming up for 19 years. I was invited up, and I would do live action stunt demonstrations and Wild West shows and, you know, other stage shows in the theaters. And a couple years ago, the county, because they had been taking it over, said, well, you know, we're not going to do this anymore. All the actors are dead.
I'm not dead.
I told him, I'm not dead.
Freaking politicians, you know?
Exactly. And it went the wayside, not much to the chagrin of people in town and various ages, not just the old people and such. So they decided,
people.
Well, we're gonna do it. It's gonna be called Legends Weekend. Oh, we're not gonna do it downtown, okay, so that the hotels can prosper by it and the restaurants and the gift shops. They did it out at our reservoir. Okay. Which was a disaster. No actors, just a couple bands, two poets, and it failed miserably. And people in town are going, you know what? I think they did that on purpose.
Yeah.
I think they knew it would be a failure, and they could say, see, no one wants this. Well, as soon as that happened, I get approached by people in town going, Buck, you do events. You've done them all so many years, 30-some years and stuff. Can you do it? So then the ball started rolling, and so now we're right on the cliff edge of it, ready to start. Still a lot of work to be done. Things like this, you know, the invitation that you guys gave, this is wonderful. Puts the word out. I just did another podcast with Galaxy Press, who own all of the rights for
L. Ron Hubbard.
L. Ron Hubbard's, his Western writing.
We're going to have John Goodwin on later this year.
Excellent.
Have him back again. Yeah.
Okay. I just did a podcast with, in fact, they're sponsoring our Friday night at the Redstone Theater, which is a historic theater. Mm-hmm. It dates back to 1934. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do, on Thursday, we're going to show the movie Tombstone, because my buddy Peter Shirako's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So
they'll
get to watch
about?
It on the big screen. I don't know. It's about headstones, I think.
I've heard of it.
Yeah. So that's on Thursday night. And then Galaxy Press is actually sponsoring the Friday night Wild West Star Q&A. And then I just finished writing it, and we're going to rehearse it. That would be good. I write old-time radio shows. You know, hey, if you got coconut shells, you got horses.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. John is good at doing that. I know that his group has been putting together live radio programs that at one of the theaters there in L.A. And
they actually, they own that theater.
Smashing success.
I did one.
Yeah, and I've actually done three or four of those shows with them.
Yeah.
I did one with Pat Buttram out at the Autry, a Christmas show.
Yeah, cool.
He only trusted me with a small part.
I had a big part.
You would.
But we... So we've created this thing. We have a little Hollywood museum up here. It's been here for a long time. And what they would do when people would finish filming productions, and they would just leave stuff behind. They were, this gentleman's name is Tom, pretty industrious. He went on and go, you want me to get that off your property? And he would take it. So what he actually has, when they did Outlaw Josie Wales, that was filmed, that adobe cabin was way down in the canyon. It's called Kanab Canyon. Yeah. Now it's called Angels Canyon. Because best friends and in the sanctuary. So he pulled it out, and you can actually go walk inside of it, walk around it, and it just shows you all, it gives you a good glimpse about how smart Hollywood is. Why would I build an adobe structure when I can make it out of fiberglass and it looks like adobe? You know? So they just unscrewed the panels and put it back together. Yep. So we'll have some celebs up here besides Peter. Patrick Wayne will be here. Darby Hinton. Nice. Rudy Ramos, who's now got great new claim to fame with Yellowstone. And, of course, High Chaparral. Wind.
And he had a wonderful program about Geronimo as well.
Yes, he did that one-man show. Yep. I mean, it was amazing. Yep. And he actually performed it up here once during when Legends was around. So it's a little bit of everything.
I forgot Wyatt McRae.
Wyatt will be here. Yeah, right. Yep. He's always a good for a laugh.
He's a wonderful man. He's a good friend.
Good friend.
He really is. Yep. And so I've even got Mitch Vogel coming up. Jamie from Bonanza.
And you got Richard Farnsworth's little boy.
Yep. And Diamond, whose real name is Richard.
Wonder why.
I guess he didn't want the confusion and stuff. But so we've got, basically 3 nights, 2 days, of this, and the community is just embracing it. Every time I turn around, it could have gone either way, But the fact that I think that I'd come up for so many years, I think they go, we kind of sort of trust this guy.
All right, so this is happening September 10th through the 12th up in Kanab. And the website to find out more information is
Little Hollywood Wild West Fest.
There you go. See, that's pretty simple.
I can remember.
All right. So we got to take our very first commercial break here on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker de France, and Todd Roberts with you. We're coming to you from live stream from the Tucson Auto Museum. Where Auto Museum, you say?
Sound booth.
Well, in their podcast studio. Mm-hmm. And Auto Museum, you say? Well, of course, because automobiles were part of history, as is the West.
You can't make a Roy Rogers movie without a Woody.
You see, and we have a 1910 Hupmobile sitting right in front of us. A 37 Cord 812 across the way. Jack Benny's V12 Packard.
Call's ready, Mr. Benny. Call's ready.
There's a Woody Becca over in the other room, and my favorite, a 52 DeSoto convertible. But they also do bunches of other things here, like guest lecture series. And coming up on the 19th of September from 2 to 3 is Karen Cochler. Take the Wheel, Navigating Aging Caregiving and Long-Term Care Insurance. You know, we're old, so you got to have...
If we touch one of these cars, we'll need insurance.
we're going to have that. So join Karen Cocker, certified senior advisor, Arizona licensed fiduciary, and owner of Right at Home Tucson. It's an informative and encouraging presentation designed to help individuals and families confidently navigate that road ahead. You can find out more at the website, TucsonAutoMuseum.org. Click on the TAM events calendar, and you will find it there. In the meantime, we'll be back with much more of Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker de France, Todd Roberts with you. We'll be right back.
Arizona, the land of cattle, copper, and cowboys. It's also the true West, where a large number of Westerns were filmed. For your next vacation, come out to where Wyatt Earp made a name for himself as a highly respected sheriff. Stay where Jimmy Stewart filmed Winchester 73.
That would be the White Stallion Ranch. Situated in the mountains just northwest of Tucson, the White Stallion Ranch is an award-winning dude ranch with 43 guest rooms and a hacienda. That's a five-bedroom, three-bathroom home, perfect for larger families, family reunions, and girlfriend getaways. Every guest room has a private patio with views of the cactus gardens, mountains, or corrals. Generous floor plans offer sunny, comfortable rooms, but you won't want to stay in your room. Outdoor activities are plentiful at the White Stallion Ranch. Horseback riding, hiking, shooting, archery, rock climbing, e-biking, and a weekly ranch rodeo are among the numerous activities that you'll enjoy on your ranch vacation. Go Western for your next getaway. The White Stallion Ranch. Book your vacation now online at whitestallionranch.com or call 520-297-0252.
This is Eb Wilkinson at Wilkinson Wealth Management. If you're within 10 to 15 years of retirement and you're putting off retirement planning, my advice to you is don't do that. Ignoring your retirement planning won't make it go away. It'll just make it worse. Give me a call and let's work on your plan together so you can retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
The Tucson Trap and Ski Club is one of the best-kept economic secrets in town. This 900-member group maintains one of the finest shotgun shooting ranges in the country, featuring trap, skeet, five-stand, and sporting clays fields, and hosts national and international events that bring thousands of people and millions of dollars into our community. The Spring Satellite Grand American Tournament alone involves 1,200 participants for 10 days. Learn more about this and their other contributions to our community at TucsonTrapAndSkeet.com.
I want out before we get caught. We're not going to get caught. Our boys are too fast. Besides, don't the whole town respect us as vigilantes? Haven't we cleaned up all the rustlers? Isn't my palace saloon a perfect cover-up? And isn't your father above reproach?
Yes, we did a lot of good. Before you turned the vigilantes into the dirtiest bunch of bank robbers in Arizona, I tell you, I want out.
Now, you listen to me. One false move out of you, and I'll put you out for keeps.
I'll stick. But you better slow down, Cole.
Now you're talking. That's a lot better. You let me do the worrying.
This is the Voices of the West.
No, no, it's not Knuckles. Sam Fortney.
Fortney.
It's called the Cakewalk Custard. Welcome back to Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker de France, Todd Roberts with you, and he's coming to you from Los Angeles. And our guest is Buck Montgomery. He's coming to us from Kanab, Utah.
Beautiful.
We are talking about the Kanab Film Festival, the Little Hollywood Film Festival. It's happening September 10 through 12, right up there in Kanab.
Beautiful Kanab. That was one of my favorite locations.
In fact,
I used to go up there when we weren't shooting. Yeah, I'd meet Neil up there, and we'd just go up and hang out.
You and Neil used to go up there a lot. And Summers is going to be one of the people honored up there for all of his work as a stuntman, and damn good stuntman, by the way.
Yeah, Buck, I got some Kanab questions for you.
Just to
test your knowledge of your new home. Do you know why Hollywood stopped going up there?
You know, I really don't.
Well, what happened when they were shooting Boots and Saddles, the Calvary series?
Right.
The folks up in Kanab decided, they formed, with the help of the Hollywood Screen Extras Guild, they formed a branch office of the Extras Guild. And the Hollywood said, we don't need to pay professional extras on location. We just won't go there.
Okay.
The cheap SOBs.
Yep, there's that politics thing again. You know, shoot yourself in the foot, you know? And it makes sense, though. I mean, I love talking to the old-timers up here, and not even that old-timers, that were, a part, helped out in so many things and got paid for it. And they said, almost all of them would say, they didn't have to pay us. We just liked doing it.
So
they had such great memories running into James Arness and, other people and such. And
especially Frank Sinatra and his Rat Pack. Mm-hmm. You know, when they came up and did Sergeant's Three.
Diarrhea.
Yeah, and most people don't know, very few people know, that when Frank left here, because he had asked, him and Dino were doing their show in at the Sands in Vegas. And so he said, well, you know, is there someplace we can land our helicopter? Because we're going back and forth, doing their shows, doing the movies, this and that. So someone said, yeah, we landed on the football field. You know, it's not in school. So we did, went back and forth, even at the Perry Lodge, which is historic now, mm-hmm. because that's pretty much where everyone stayed. John Wayne paid for half of the pool there. But Frank...
The top half or the bottom half?
Yeah. It was a kidney shape, so I'm not really sure which side that would be. So Frank and the boys upstairs, right above the lobby, and it's still up there today, they made it a party room. Okay, and it became legendary. Well, when they finished filming and they left, did you know that the hat that Sammy Davis Jr. wears in that, mm-hmm. you can visualize it, that was actually one of John Wayne's hats?
Yes, yes.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah, he gave it to him.
The pushed up brim.
Yes, and when he took it back to him, I don't know what Sammy Davis Jr. did with it, but they say that John just looked at him and went, "You just go ahead and keep it." You know, 'cause I guess he just trashed it. But when he left, Frank Sinatra told one of his agents said, "I want you to go back there because the high school had just been reopened, or a new high school was being built." And he says, "Ask them what they need for their high school." So they made a list. It was like 12 things. And so they took it back to Frank. Frank, they brought it back to them. And they said, "Well, what did Mr. Sinatra say?" He says, "He'll pay for all of it," which surmounted to about $50,000 back in those days.
Wow.
Okay, it was $50,000 then. Equate that to what it is now. But most importantly, he paid for, and it was the first one ever in existence in the state of Utah, he paid for a fully electronic scoreboard for the football team.
Wow.
That's cool. That's cool.
And wow. I know where that scoreboard's at. I know what field it's throwing in.
That's connect.
One of these days, I'll go grab it. You know? But I mean, that's the kind of stuff you don't hear about.
Yeah.
You know, there have been, you know, countless stories. And like I said, Neil holds, of course, the record for filming more movies in Kanab and the surrounding areas than any other actors combined.
What was his Amazing. First job up in Kanab?
What was his first job?
Mm-hmm. I know.
I'm not sure.
Vess Barker, Davy Crockett.
He did, okay.
He worked two or three episodes up there on that.
Okay.
Yeah, I know this stuff. I know that kid like the back of my hand.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I have to tell you this because his friend, Bonnie Riding, mm-hmm. okay, at one point in time, I think Neil dated her sister.
Carmen.
Came up to him. And so...
He dated Carmen.
When he got... Huh?
Carmen.
Yes, Bonnie.
No, and Carmen, so, that was the girl he dated.
Okay, exactly. So when he passed away, he left all of his collection to Bonnie to be the caretaker of it. Yeah.
Wow.
So it's one of her dreams, and I would love to do this, but up here there's not a lot of places to do that. Because I said, there needs to be like a museum.
Yes,
you know,
it is a museum.
With his stuff, you know, and then she also has a whole lot of memorabilia given to her by Valerie Walker of Clint's stuff.
Well, so, I was going to ask you about the Clint Walker display up there this year.
Yeah, we're gonna put some stuff out that Valerie, you know, said, yeah, please show it. And I think there's some stuff we'll be selling of Clint's, you know, because, yeah. But, I mean, we've got one of his guns from something, a coat from something else. And, you know, that's the interesting stuff is the props and wardrobe.
Sure.
You know?
Todd Roberts, get in there.
So, Buck, I have a really important question, and this is really going to gauge the entire success of this show. No pressure. Don't feel it. There's nothing.
I'm not.
But that $50 you got for that first stunt, did you get it before or after you did the stunt?
I got it after.
And by the way, was it cash?
25 up front, 25 to get
one. It was actually cash. It was cash because they didn't really want to put it out over at the studios at Disney. You know, I think looking back on it, they were just having fun with me, I think. But, you know, they told me, well, they're not filming for anything, because that was just some street clothes, basically, and jeans and this and that. We're just getting angles, you know? So, you know, I did it once. And when they told me, you know, it pays $50 and, you know, when I was just 19 years old, and I went, hey, great. Yeah. You know?
And you're indestructible, for sure.
Yeah. And, right. But I thought for sure it'd be $50 every time. Okay. I did it 13 times, and they said, okay, I think we got enough. And I'm going, yes, you do. And they gave me $50. Okay.
Hey, wait, well, that's why you negotiate before the stunt.
50 times 13. Come on.
But I had no chops at all that time. Yeah. I had no, you know, I couldn't, you know, I can't bargain with them and stuff. Yes. It's just like, and then you, that's how you learn, I guess. So yes,
if we had all the residuals for stuff that we gave away, we would be sitting in the cotton.
Exactly. And I think about that all the time. And now I tell, you know, people say, you know, I want to be a stuntman. No, you don't. No, you don't.
Here's my other question, which is, when you were working on Back to the Future 3, mm-hmm. did you know our good friend Michael Blake, the makeup man?
I did not, because I was just in a big group shop on the thing. And so we pretty much just supplied our stuff. There were, how many riders were there in that? 80?
Yep.
I think there was a total of 80. And which, you know, and I thought, okay, I'll get paid a little bit extra so I get to be in the cavalry and an Indian. But nope, you're just an Indian. I said, fine.
$50, that's it.
Yeah, I can make pretty good. And it's, I tell people all the time, I said, and Bunker, you can attest to this, is that it's one of the few movies where I can actually see my face.
What? Okay?
I can actually see it because, I mean, it's small, okay, but I'm like right there, you know?
Well, and you differ from Bunker because he never looks at the camera.
Well, I made a point because Red Morgan told me a long time ago, he said, look, kid, when you're working out there, don't let them see you too much, because if you do, at the end of the day, they go, oh, we've seen him too much. He's not back to now.
So
I was a master at hiding, but being there. Then you see the horse, but you never, very seldom saw me.
Usually on the side of the horse.
Yeah. Hey, it's an art.
You know, apparently so. We got to do our next commercial break here on Emil Franzi. Yes, it is. Here on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West, Harry Alexander, Bunker de France, Todd Roberts in Los Angeles. Buck Montgomery is our guest from Kanab, Utah. We're talking about the Kanab Film Festival. And we
Little
are streaming
Hollywood Wild West Fest.
Indeed. We are streaming live from the Tucson Auto Museum, located at 4825 North Sabino Canyon Road. Check out their website, TucsonAutoMuseum.org. Lots of good stuff there.
It's awesome.
It's a way cool place. You will not be disappointed. We'll be right back with much more after this.
Can you even imagine switching back to pen and paper to run your business? Every year, we become more and more dependent upon our technology. If your network is not set up properly, you're just one click or one email away from losing data critical to your operation. Arizona Computer Guru offers a host of services to prevent and protect you from disaster. From online backup services to email filtering to fully managed network services, Arizona Computer Guru is here to keep your network secure, your data safe, and your budget in the black. To schedule your free consultation, call 304-8300.
This is Eb Wilkinson at Wilkinson Wealth Management. If you're within 10 to 15 years of retirement and you're putting off retirement planning, my advice to you is don't do that. Ignoring your retirement planning won't make it go away. It'll just make it worse. Give me a call and let's work on your plan together so you can retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
The Tucson Trap and Ski Club dates from 1948 and is now at 7800 West Old Ajo Highway. The club owns 80 acres and leases 300 more from Pima County that supports 50 trap fields, 15 skeet fields, 2 5-stand fields, 2 sporting plays courses with 12 stations each, a 9,000 square foot clubhouse, 200 full-service RV hookups for members, and free Wi-Fi. This expansive facility gives enough room to host major national and international events annually, bringing thousands of people to the community. Check it out at TucsonTrapAndSki.com.
I'm getting tired of your meddling. This town ain't big enough for the both of us. And I'm giving you 24 hours to get out. If I see you in Carabinas by this time tomorrow, it's you or me.
I'll see you at this time tomorrow.
This is the Voices of the West.
On Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker de France. Todd Roberts in Los Angeles. Our guest is Buck Montgomery. We're talking about the Kanab Film Festival, Little Hollywood Film Festival. And let's see here. Buck, tell us about some of the, what all else is going on over this 3-day period.
Well, like I said, we've got at Little Hollywood Museum, that's where Wild West shows and the Wild West stars will be there, and Western music, a lot of local talent, which is, for this small town, there is so much of it. And then down at the Perry Lodge, there is a place called the Perry Barn. And it was an actual barn at one time, actually, when they shot in 1956, they shot the feature film, The Lone Ranger. That's where they kept the Stars horses. That's where Scout and Silver were at. So now it's like a little theater. They have a stage in there, and they show movies and whatever. Down there we'll have, which was always a big part of the festival, the old festival, was cowboy poets and storytellers. And there are, again, so many talented people up here. And then we have a couple national poets coming in, Andy Nelson and Sam DeLue. So that's there. And then we're having a big quilt show. Okay, right across the street, indoors, there's hundreds of quilts. Quilt making is a big deal up here.
Imagine, yeah.
I mean, some of the stuff is amazing. And then, like I said, the two events that are at the Redstone. These are all within walking distance. It's basically you're just walking the main street, which is called Center Street, and you're walking all that. We've got, for the shows, besides my stunt shows and comedy Wild West shows, I've got a one-man Wild West showman who has been with me forever. He does trick roping, gun spinning, bullwhip work, and he actually does, we'll always do a finale with a fire whip. You don't see a lot of people set a whip on fire and wrap it around themselves, you know, especially, you know, yeah, I might have done it one time on purpose, but, you know, like that,
but
just to see.
Crispy critters.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah. Well, you keep it higher up on your body. So we've got that. We've got, actually John Goodwin will be here promoting the 90th anniversary, so I'll get to see them again. Mm-hmm. And we'll have vendors. We got tons of vendors. We actually have one vendor. It's kind of cool. He has all Second Amendment items.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. So, and we're pretty much a Second Amendment kind of place up here.
Yeah. You know?
But it's just, we've got a kids' corral, I'm calling it. It's called Giddy Up Roundup. So we have that.
Tell us about that.
What is it?
The Chuck Wagon Dinner.
The Chuck Wagon Dinner. So that'll be held on location there at Little Hollywood. There's a gentleman. He's a great guy, veteran, young guy. He started, his name is Darren Giff, and he has Giff's Barbecue there. And he will be doing an old-fashioned Chuck Wagon Dinner. This is for the Saturday night send-off for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we've got enough room there for about 150 people. And tickets are just going like, I'd say hotcakes, but we're not having hotcakes. We're having Chuck Wagon
Dinner. So, Buck, If we were to come up, not on the weekend of your event, but any other time of the year, what is the best thing to order at Gift's Barbecue? Just be as honest as you want to be.
I will. And I can say this with all honesty, because when I lived in Texas, I had a very good friend named Don Busby. He had Busby's Barbecue. This is true Texas-style barbecue. Yeah. I opened a restaurant in Jamestown, California, called Buck's Texas-Style Barbecue. So I am an aficionado on Texas brisket. Okay? And I got to tell you, you know, Gift does it right. Smokes it right. Does this. Doesn't slather it with barbecue sauce. It's, you know, and it's just, it's good.
Dry rub.
I mean, it's just mouthwatering. It's a dry rub. That's Texas style. Yep. Yep.
A little heavy pepper paste on it. Needs to start praying.
Yeah. But and actually, we have another restaurant up here too that equally is good on their brisket, because they prepare it the same way, and that's called the Iron Horse. The Iron Horse has been around forever. And then right over the border. In fact, I'm taking Peter there on Wednesday night for a little meet and greet. We have the Buckskin Tavern.
That's the most important business in the whole area for the movie company.
That's in Arizona, correct?
It's in Arizona. It is literally 4 miles from downtown Kanab, okay, heading due south. It's right over the border. It is the longest bar in Arizona.
Well, now.
I've yep, crawled every foot of it.
Todd, we need, exactly. Todd, we must go visit.
Yeah,
well, this is where... I'm ready to visit, and we're going to have Nola come and be the adult in the room.
Thank you.
There was a famous...
Buck, you don't know this, Buck. You don't know this. But, and you might find out someday if you're lucky. You see, it starts out, you feel lucky. At the end of it, you don't feel so lucky.
Yeah, right.
Is to ride a train with Harry and Todd.
Because because
the first thing, we don't care where the luggage is, we don't care where the food is, where's the bar, and do they have enough bourbon?
And if not, we may have to rob the thing.
Right. Yeah, we threatened to hold up a train once.
Buck, are you familiar with the famous fight and murder at the, well, it wasn't murder, but the guy got killed at the Buckskin?
I've heard about that.
Yeah, the big fight. The guy got stabbed. Somebody from the film company was just getting ready to walk in the door, and they had a screen door, and the guy walked right out the screen door and fell dead at his feet.
Oh my God!
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was opened in 1934. Milt Cram opened that place, and his family, you know, they're still around. You know?
It's just down the road from Colorado City.
Yeah, it sure is. Yep.
What's the population of Kanab?
Kanab right now, if you include, I live out on the east end of it, okay, which is kind of where I live on a couple of acres and stuff, but it's where more of the newer development's at.
Okay.
And so that included, I think we're right about 5,700 people. Okay. Now, we have probably hotel-wise, we've got some big hotels. Hotel-wise, we probably have 2,400 room nights.
Wow.
And then we have 1,100 Airbnbs.
Damn.
You know, it's
1,100.
Yeah.
1,100.
That's incredible.
1,100.
What's amazing is when Neil and I were going up there, there were three, it was Perry's Lodge and three small motels. And down, right down where the drugstore was, upstairs was an old hotel. It wasn't open to the public, but that's where we would always stay.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, it has just boomed. And a lot of it, and here again, it's so funny because tourism is their number one, you know, ally here.
Yeah.
And now, of course, they have all the side-by-side companies and all this, you know, doing up in the red dirts and da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
But tourism is still, if you ask any European, you know, why do you want to go to Kanab? Because of the movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
They're infatuated with Hollywood and the West. Mm-hmm. Both of those things, what a combination. Sure. You know? Well,
it used to be, the claim to fame used to be that it was the gateway to Zion.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, yeah, the Europeans really love their Westerns. I mean, there's a couple of towns in Germany that are all Western. Yeah, they're all Western towns. And, I mean, people just love that stuff.
Well, they have there's a huge SAS. There are several SAS
In
Germany, in Belgium, and in France, England, absolutely. Well, and while we speak of guns, Buck, let's get down to the nitty-gritty here. You've been holding out on us, okay? And we don't appreciate it. We don't appreciate it, Buck, but we'll let you come clean now. We got to hear the story how Roy Rogers shot a gun out of your hand.
Okay. I will tell that to you. So I was living in Boerne, Texas at the time, okay, hill country. And up in Medina, Texas, okay, which is a hop, skip, and a jump, they were opening a 1,000 trails RV timeshare campground. Okay, well, Happy Trails, they got Willie Rogers. He was interested, so he bought into it. He was one of the owners of it. And so I get a call, and they said, hey, Buck, because I used to do some stuff for a couple of guy rancher named Parker up there. He had a wild game ranch. He says, Buck, I got a gig for you. He says, you want to do the groundbreaking for 1,000 Trails? And I said, yeah, sure, why not? You know? So I said, well, what are you looking at? And he goes, well, we're going to have a big grandstand, and we're going to have and then a big stage, and there's nothing out there, just a bunch of cottonwood trees and this big field. And I went, okay. And he said, oh, by the way, Roy Rogers is going to be here. And I'm thinking, and they were going to pay me really good money. So, and I said, yeah, count me in. So I go up and I meet with him. Okay, this was probably 3 months prior. I go up and meet with him, look the place over, and I said, so how about if you know, we come riding in, the good guys, the bad guys, and fall, chased by the good guys, and we'll do a big shootout, And he goes, great, oh, and we can provide the horses. You don't have to haul them up. It just gets better. And I went, all right, great. I don't have to haul a bunch of horses up there. So I get my guys, do this. So I get a call about 2 weeks out, and he says, oh, you're still coming up? It looks great. I love your idea. Oh, and Roy's probably not going to be here. So now I'm like this little kid, you know, like, fine, you know, fine. And so about 3 days pass, he calls me back. He says, okay, we got everything. Oh, Roy's going to be here. So I get up there about, I don't know, probably 5-6 hours early, looking it over. They got all the grandstands, people. It was packed. It was going to be packed. There's people already shuffling in. And so he goes, you want to go meet Roy? I said, yeah. So they had a nice trailer for him. So I go in there, and I thought I'd meet Roy Rogers wearing a T-shirt, short pants, and flip-flops. Okay. And this is like I said, 4 or 5 hours, and he's already all roided out. There he is, you know, except for his guns. He had those laid out on his table. And so I walk up there, and he's got those little squinty eyes, and they go, Roy, this is Buck. Buck, I swear. I go, Mr. Rogers. He says, no, it's Roy. And I said, okay. He says, so I understand you're going to do a little something for us. So I give him the nickel tour. I'm going to come in. I'm the last man standing. Then I'm going to hold up everyone in the stands, you know, and I'm asking for their wallets, their money, empty your pockets. Give it to me now, you know. And then I said, and then you'll stand up, and then we'll have a showdown, and you'll shoot me. And he looks at me, and he goes, puts his hand, and he goes, no, I can't do that, partner. And I went, great, I have no ending now. Thank you very much, you know. And it's just, so he goes, I can shoot the gun out of your hand. And I said, great. I said, do you want to run through it? He goes, no, we'll just wing it. And I'm like, all right. Jeez. And he goes, I said, do you have any other questions? He goes, well, do you have blanks? I said, yeah. I said, are those real guns? And he just, those little squinty eyes at me again. And I'm like, shit. I said one more stupid thing to him later on. So we do it. Here we come riding in. Boom, boom. My heart's pounding because I know in a moment it's going to be me and Roy. Okay. And we do the things. I'm the last man standing. I'm doing my spiel, yelling at him. He walks up to the microphone up there and he goes, all right there, partner. I turn to him and I go, oh, yeah? I'm not going anywhere. And he goes, I just want you to skedaddle. These days, if it happened today, I'd have to look it up on Google, so I'm going skedaddle.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah, yeah.
What is skedaddle? So I said, nope. And he goes, all right, make your play. And so I'm there, and I'm pretty fast with the gun, because now all of a sudden I've forgotten some of the stuff that he told me. Oh, I know what the other thing I said, Stone, was. I called him Fancy Pants.
Ooh.
I'm not going anywhere, Fancy Pants. And I went, you know, I think he's probably putting a real bullet in the gun now.
Yeah, right.
And so here I am, and I draw. I got my gun out of the holster, got it almost half cocked, and I hear two reports. Boom, boom. Yes. Well, Bunker, you know this. We make a living out of dying, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I throw myself up in the air, and it's dawned on me, I can't die. So it must have looked so lame, because my hand's in the air, and I just kind of flicked my wrist. I'm like, yeah. And I threw the gun out to the side. I hit the ground, and he looked at me, and he stands up, and the crowd's going crazy, and he goes, now, skedaddle. Now, my dream would have been to just jump, mount onto a horse, and ride off. Every horse had disappeared.
Of course.
I had to run like 100 yards to get to a cottonwood tree, you know, and hide behind it.
To skedaddle.
And I skedaddled.
That's a
I skedaddled
skedaddle.
Good, too.
That
you know?
Is so funny.
And so that was cool. That's my, yeah, so I think I'm the last man alive to have that happen, you know.
So cool. And on that note.
A classic skedaddle.
It is. And on that note, we got to do our final commercial break here.
On
Amo Franzi's, what is this? Oh, Voices of the West. That's what it is. Harry Alexander, Bunker to France. Todd Roberts with you. And our guest is Buck Montgomery. We're talking about the three-day film festival happening up in Kanab, Utah. We'll be back after this.
Arizona, the land of cattle, copper, and cowboys. It's also the true West, where a large number of Westerns were built. For your next vacation, come out to where Wyatt Earp made a name for himself as a highly respected sheriff. Stay where Jimmy Stewart filmed Winchester 73.
That would be the White Stallion Ranch. Situated in the mountains just northwest of Tucson, the White Stallion Ranch is an award-winning dude ranch with 43 guest rooms and the Hacienda. That's a 5-bedroom, 3-bathroom home, perfect for larger families, family reunions, and girlfriend getaways. Every guest room has a private patio with views of the cactus gardens, mountains, or corrals. Generous floor plans offer sunny, comfortable rooms, but you won't want to stay in your room. Outdoor activities are plentiful at the White Stallion Ranch. Horseback riding, hiking, shooting, archery, rock climbing, e-biking, and a weekly ranch rodeo are among the numerous activities that you'll enjoy on your ranch vacation. Go Western for your next getaway. The White Stallion Ranch. Book your vacation now online at whitestallionranch.com or call 520-297-0252.
This is Ev Wilkinson of Wilkinson Wealth Management, where we manage money for gun owners. When people turn 50, something miraculous happens. They start to get serious about retirement planning. They've done very well so far and want to be certain they power into the retirement they've earned. Let me guide you to retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Ev Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
I'm Mr. Ed.
No doubt you've heard about rescue groups for dogs and cats, but did you know there's a rescue group for horses? That's right, it's called Horse It Around Rescue. Founders Steve Boyce and Teresa Worrell are helping out all those equine victims of neglect and cruelty by giving them a place to restore their health and wellness. And Horse It Around provides a nurturing and natural environment where horses can be horses, so they can be adopted out into forever homes. More than 120 horses, mules, and donkeys have been adopted out, but like everything else, it costs money to run the project. Horse It Around is a 501c3 nonprofit located in Southeast Arizona. Your tax-deductible donations to Horse It Around will go a long way so those horses can be horses. Check out the website, horseitaroundrescue.org. Make a difference in a horse's life. That's horseitaroundrescue.org.
Besides bringing millions a year into this community with national and international events, the Tucson Trap and Skeet Club at 7800 West Old Ajo Highway services the local shooting sports community with a 380-acre site featuring trap, skeet, five stand, and two sporting clays fields, as well as a 9,000-square-foot clubhouse, which all is available to local shooters, and soon, an archery range. Check it out at TucsonTrapAndSkeet.com or take a drive out west of town and see it for yourself. New members or single-day use, welcome.
Yosemite Sam! It's Yosemite Sam!
Yosemite Sam!
Yosemite, yeah, Yosemite Sam! The roughest, toughest he-man, stuffest hombre has ever crossed the Rio Grande. And I ain't no mamby-pamby.
This is the Voices of the West.
Grandpappy told my pappy back in my day, son, a man had to answer for the wicked thing he done. All the rope in Texas, find a tall old tree, round up all of them bad boys, hang them high in the street, for all the people to see.
That justice is one thing you should always find. You gotta saddle up your boys, you gotta draw a hard line.
When the gun smoke settles, we'll sing a victory tune, and we'll all meet back at the local saloon.
Singing whiskey for my men, beer for my horses.
You know, that is absolutely right.
Against evil forces,
welcome back to Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker to France, Todd Roberts with you. Buck Montgomery, our guest out of Kanab, Utah. We're talking about the big time Little Hollywood Film Festival happening up there, September 10 through 12. And what? Where else do we want to go, fellas?
I want to go to Kanab.
Oh, you want to go to Kanab? You want to do the show from there, do you?
Yeah, we should.
Yeah. You paying for the gas?
I'll tell you.
You'll love it.
Kanab is. It's, I was like Neil. I always thought at one time maybe I'd retire up there, but I'm not smart enough to retire, so I guess I'll have to wait.
That's why he's still here.
Yeah. Why am I here? Yep. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it was great having Neil here, too, at the very end.
Yeah. We miss him. We miss him big time. All right. Yeah. Time for the final question of the hour, and that honor goes to Mr. Todd Roberts.
Well, be ready.
Okay. Dr. Buck, I was lying before when I said I was asking you a question with no pressure. This has a lot of pressure.
And okay, I'm feeling
tons
it.
Tons of pressure.
And honestly, it might even affect you when you get invited back based on your answer.
Ooh. You may not come back. Don't tell him that, Todd.
So, okay, all right, sorry, guess we want to get the Christmas gifts, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
All right, Dr. Buck, here goes. Your favorite film or television Western?
And it can't be one you worked on.
No!
I knew it was one you worked on.
Okay, well, I have two. One I worked on and one I didn't. All right, so Treasure Sierra Madre. I've watched that countless times. And it's interesting because just before they started filming, Humphrey Bogart, lost all his hair. He was taking, believe it or not, he was taking some like steroids or hormone pills, and all his hair fell out.
Wow.
So in that movie, he's wearing a wig, and they said it wasn't a very good one.
Damn.
So he has a wig in that. But I grew up watching that. I thought that is a classic, and everyone gets the stinking badgers line wrong every time. I don't know why. But the other one is The Long Riders.
I knew it.
Oh.
I knew it.
Wow.
Because you talk about it a lot. I knew it.
Yeah. Yep, the Long Riders. I had the pleasure of working on that. And at the time when it came out, it was pretty much considered almost an indie film, mm-hmm. because all of those actor brothers put so much money into it. And originally, it wasn't supposed to be the Carradines; it was supposed to be the Bridges.
Mm-hmm.
But they couldn't do it; they had an obligation or whatever. But it worked out perfect for that. And
Yeah, it was just, it was such a cool production. You know, I got to run on top of the train for That's Bobby, fun. and that was a fluke. I wasn't even scheduled to do that. and it just that the, you know, Walter Hill came in looking around all these, you know, we were just basically on set wherever they needed.
Yeah. Picked you out of the wrong place at the right time.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and he looked at me and he goes, walked up and he goes, and I was pretty young, and he goes, so I wouldn't run on top of a train today. They go faster. He walked up and he goes, so, Buck, can you run on top of a moving train? I went, yeah.
How do you think I got here?
Yeah, I mean, I just did it yesterday. Yeah. So we filmed that in Jamestown, California, at that 1897 railway, which is the movie train, one of them anyway, where it started with My Little Chickadee, Petticoat Junction, Back to the Future, blah, blah, blah. And this one. So I survived it, you know, and Bunker can attest, this is long before people like stuntman Tom Cruise did stuff, and you know, with all kinds
Tom
of cables
and Tom Cruise, a stuntman. Oh, that's so funny!
I'll tell you what, one of the most awful, horrible casting jobs ever. They cast him in the John Richard character, who is like 6'7".
Jack exactly. Reacher. Yeah. He was terrible in that. And I'm sorry, Tom Cruise is a stuntman.
He's gutsy. I'll give him credit.
He's maybe gutsy, but I'll tell you what, I'll drink some cod liver oil.
I'll just put that. He may be gutsy, and he may do some good stuff. But he's no Buster Keaton.
No, he certainly is not.
No, Buster Keaton is the greatest of all time, as far as I'm concerned.
Indeed. Yeah.
After that, Jackie Chan.
Yeah, Buck, we're pulling out of time, man.
Oh.
All right.
Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. It was a pleasure. You. And we certainly hope that your film
much
festival...
Much success with your event.
Yeah, much success with your film festival, man.
Thank you.
Hopefully we can get up there in some fashion.
We hope it's so successful they'll let you do it again next year.
Well, and maybe we'll get to come up there then, too. Well, who knows?
Yes.
I don't know. All right.
So in the words of my Apache people, my grandfather was full-blooded, Kaddish Day.
All right.
That means until we meet again.
Very well. Buck, thank you so much. Next time we get together on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West, it's Movie Saturday. We'll be out at the White Stallion Ranch. We got a good one coming up. It'll be Bob Bowes Bell from True West Magazine and Western Writers of America author and Spur Award winner numerous times, Johnny Boggs.
9 or 10.
I have no idea.
More than anybody alive.
We're going to talk about who made the most money at the box office.
I thought it was going to be who did the most Westerns.
Oh, that might be, too.
No, it's who's the champ.
Who's the champ? Okay.
Who had most films about them?
I know. It won't be me. So, and in any event, that's it for this edition of Emil Franzi's Voices of the West.
78, 79, 80 O's, all you folks heading up to Kanab to go see the Little Hollywood Wild West Fan Festival, and you're going to have a darn good
Thanks
time.
Thanks for listening to Emil Franzi's Voices of the West.